Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
At this time at Word of Faith, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And right now, we're not bringing our tithes to the front. We just have our faith buckets to the side, on each side of you, on the pews. But I want to take us to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Two verses this morning for the scriptures. Just two verses to give this morning. Wow, can Pastor just give two verses this morning for scripture? John 3:16, the last you forever. For God so loved the world. That's just, well, I gave you three now, hadn't I? For God so loved the world that he gave. John says, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be the propitiation. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, help me finish the last. We ought to love one another. So we can't say we love God if we don't love one another. If we do, we're deceiving ourselves. And what it boils down to, that's in every area of your life. We're getting ready to receive our tithes and offerings. If I say I love God and I trust God and I can't trust him with $1 off of 10, a tenth of that, I really don't love God. I don't trust God. Just got to be honest. And I used to be in that place. That I couldn't trust God because I was God. I was God. I was ruling my life. I was deciding what I was going to do and how I was going to do it, how I was going to treat my wife, what I was going to do with my money, my paycheck. See, it was all about me. But Jesus still loved me, even though it was all about me. That's why he died. The Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He died for me once. We got a beautiful cross behind me here. We got a beautiful cross on the front of this church. I had one I shared in a memorial service for my cousin's husband that she's been waiting on 2 months since he passed. I had that cross in my pocket. I don't have it in my pocket anymore. I put it in a place of remembrance. It's a special cross to me now because God gave me the message to share with that family that it's the power of the cross. That cross is a symbol of love. It was also a symbol of the greatest pain and suffering that no individual would ever face was the crucifixion. But it also was a sign of the greatest act of love that has ever been displayed on that cross. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. So every time as you get ready to give this morning, your destiny is in Christ. This church has a purpose to love God, love others, bring people into the Lord, into the kingdom. If you don't know Jesus, this is a place to meet him today. Amen. Amen. Meet him today. Talk about him. We teach about faith because we want you to be good stewards. God wants you to live a blessed life. Amen. So every time we give, this should be our motive behind our giving, is God first loved us. And if you'll keep God first in your finances, you keep him first in your marriage, first in everything you do, you won't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what shoes you're going to pick out. Now, it's Father's Day today, and I got blessed. Me and my wife took me shopping, and it wasn't Father's Day, but I was blessed. I did that service, and they also blessed me with some monetary gift. I rejected it, but then I received it because I said, no, take it. And you know what I did? I went out and got shopping for some clothes, some suits, and some pants. Why? Because I need them. Amen. God knew I needed them. My wife knew I needed them because she went with me. And when we got there, we saved how much? She's shaking her head. I know it was at least 30%, right? More than that. There was 85% clearance. It's not all the time I like to go shopping, but yesterday I liked to go shopping, Reed. There was clearance, and they had my size, and it fit me. And I took that 100, and I put it toward that. But I kept God first. Amen? And the Bible says, when it is given, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. Give and it. Amen? And she gave me a $100 bill. And I told her, believe to receive it 100-fold. $100 bills. That's the word of God. When you bless somebody, God, your Father, does a lot better than I can do. Amen? But you start the action by your love. Amen? So stand with me. We always stand as an act of honoring God. When we stand, we honor Him. You know, Jesus stood in heaven for the first martyr, Stephen. Wasn't that awesome? So, Father, we thank you, Lord, as a church. We stand together today, trusting you in our finances, trusting you in our lives. Lord, let our life be an example of your life lived here on this life for us. Because, Jesus, the life that you gave, we could not give. God gave his best, and, Lord, today we purpose in our heart to give our best to you. And, Father, we thank you that we have the promise in your word that you said you would cause the windows of heaven to stay open in our lives. That, Lord, Jesus, you promised us when we honor you that the Father and the Holy Ghost would come and manifest. They would show up in our lives. And, Lord, we're trusting your promises. In these last days, Lord, when all hell is falling around us, Lord, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. So it shall not prevail against our finances. If there's people in this room that don't have jobs, and you put your faith in God, you will have a job. God is your source. Keep him first, and he will make a way. He will cause blessings to chase you down and overtake you. So when you release your seed, when you release your tithe, release your faith this morning and believe in God. We'll bring it back to you. We'll bring it back to you. And Father, we thank you for that. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You bless the Lord in your giving. Thank you. Faith, release their faith into these faith buckets, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, as I'm walking the aisles, Lord, you're walking their aisles, Lord. Lord, you're walking into their lives, that they'll just open up their lives totally to you, Father. We just thank you for a mighty move of your Spirit today, Lord. Father, we just give you the praise. We give you the preeminence, Lord, in this place today, Father. We worship you, Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, you're worthy. Thank you for receiving our worship. Lord, we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who we talk. That's who we serve. That's who we serve. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. That heart of worship that comes from a worshiper. It ain't about the tune that you carry. Lord, Lord, I wouldn't have made it. I tell you what. R.W. Shambach was a worshiper. He was a loud worshiper. You ain't got no problem, brother. All you need is faith in God, was his favorite saying. Amen. What's your favorite saying about God? Make you a few. Amen. My God is an awesome God. He's an everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and he loves you. And he loves me. And he loves our children. And our children's children's children. God is love. That's what he has. And we were created in his image and likeness. Don't look around to try to determine in this world what love is. Because they didn't love Jesus when he was here. Not, I'm talking about the world. There were some that loved him, but a lot of the majority couldn't see God in Jesus while they were looking on the outside. God looks at the heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, as we get started with the passing of one of our faithful saints here, Miss Nancy Gentry, I wanted to dedicate. I know it's Father's Day, and she was a mother, but you know what? God don't look at gender. He don't look at male or female. He looks at our hearts. And I'd just like, as being her pastor, to dedicate this service to her and to her family. Her funeral service will be next Sunday. And the last things that she told me when I visited her was, Pastor, you're going to be surprised one day because I'm going to walk in that church. I'm going to come and I'm going to listen. Well, you know what? She put her words out there and I believed them. Amen. Now, she wasn't able to do it here in the body, but she made it. Amen. And she made it to heaven, and she's listening to some of the greatest preachers and teachers there ever has been up there in glory. But you know what? I have this hope that I'm going to see her again. And she's going to be different than what I've seen her. She's going to be younger, sharper. She ain't going to be tired, because that was the last thing she told me. She said, Pastor, I'm getting tired. This is before she had the stroke. She would see her body was getting tired. She wasn't confessing she's tired. She was just saying, I'm getting tired. Because on the inside, she loved to watch Jimmy Swaggart. That was one of her favorite preachers, TV preachers. I said, Miss Nancy, I said, I better not say if. I said, when God puts me on TV, I said, you going to watch me or you going to watch Jimmy? I think she said both. Amen. But you know what? It's not about titles. It's not about me. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what we sang about. And she knew Jesus. And she is praising and worshiping him. But guys, as I was praying, I told Angel this morning, and that's Angel Riviera. He's not an angel specifically. I have to watch how I say that here. But like, Pastor's talking to angels? Well, I don't worship angels, but I can talk to them. Amen. They talk to me, I'll talk back. Because they are messengers. Amen. How would you like to have a message and nobody spoke to your message, didn't speak back to you? Gabriel, take care of some stuff for me. Fly swiftly according to the word of God. So you got to give them the word of God. That's how they operate, angels. But angel operates by what Marie says. Right? He's shaking his head back there. I say, amen, Pastor. But I want to talk about, as I was praying on my couch this morning about 6:30, because I was pretty tired yesterday. My body was pretty tired, but I went to bed trusting God had something to share this morning. Amen. And so you ask, you will hear. If you're listening, Because if you got a lot of scriptures, you can hear a lot of scriptures. Your mind's racing. There's a lot of things up there, but every Sunday there's really a specific way to go, but there's all these gifts when you guys come in, you're bringing in all kind of things that God wants to do through the music, through fellowship, through being here. Amen, and letting just God move and touch people. But I heard John, we're going to go to the book of John. I'm actually going to read John chapter 16, the whole chapter. I'm going to fill the fathers up this morning. And how many fathers do we have here? Somebody count. Help me count hands here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Keep your hands up. 11, 12, 13. I think I did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm pretty close. If there's one short, Pastor will wait. But there was a bag given to me this morning, and it's got the word in it. And from Maria, she's some gifting she's got. She put a nice little binder together, and I'm going to give it to the fathers because it's Father's Day. But she gave it to me to put in the word supply. But why not just give it to the fathers on Father's Day? Sound like a good idea to me. Amen. So thank you, Marie, for hearing from God. And it's all about the Word. The Word.
Yes. Amen.
Guys, and when I speak to you as a whole. When me and my wife was looking for a church, not just any church, we were looking for the church where God was sending us to. Our kids were little. We had four. We have four. Still have four. But they were little. And we didn't look to who had the biggest entertainment, who had the biggest children's ministry. Don't listen to my heart. We didn't look at the biggest church, the newest church, the closest church. We looked in our heart and said, Lord, where you want us to go and who you want us to help. And I heard Jim Howard on the radio. I had been hearing Jim Howard, and he said, go help him. Now, he didn't say that in Robert's English. I heard it in my heart. And you know what? We became the children's ministers. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We became the children's minister. So, but what we were looking for, the Word. Where is the Word? First place. I'm talking about the Word of God, not the Word of a man. It comes through a man. But we were looking for the Word of God, and when we got there and started listening, we knew we were where we're supposed to be. Why? Because the Word was being confirmed in our heart and in our life. And we're still with the Word. Amen. We're not at the same church, but we're pretty close. And we're still in Concord. But then there might be another place. Your destiny in Christ can change, but let Him change it. Come on. If he moves you somewhere, let Him move you, and it'll be a good move. But you check with God. And when I asked for the message this morning, John 16:15. I'm not scripture and verse preacher. I just got the Word in here. When it comes out, I'll find where it's at. some preachers are scripture and verse. Man, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, he could tell you the day he got born again, the time, what street he was on, and where the house he was in. He was just that kind of man. I don't have a watch. Amen. But I got Jesus. Amen. And that's all the watch you need. He said, watch therefore and pray. Amen. He wasn't talking about this watch. He's talking about watch. Look around you. Know how to pray. John 16:15 is my keynote. It says, all things that the Father, and I didn't focus this around Father's Day. I left it up to God. It says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Jesus speaking here. Therefore, he said, Wayne, that he shall take of mine healing, blessing, all of his goodness, and he will show it to you. I did a message years ago called Show and Tell. I'd have to listen back to it, but show and tell. I got something to tell. Why? Because Jesus showed up in my life. Amen. I got something to tell you about. We're going to read chapter 16. Follow along. Got you a good Bible turn there. They'll probably have it on the screen. This is written in red. Red letters. There's a beautiful song out there. Jesus wrote in red. These are the words of Jesus. still just as strong and powerful as they were when he spoke them on this earth. See, Nancy said, I'm coming to your church, Pastor. She spoke those words on the earth. Those words are still alive. Her daughter might come to this church. Her kinfolk might come to this church. But the main thing was she loved church. That was her destiny. She wanted to go to church. Her body was denying her, but her spirit was strong. But she's there. She is the church. Every time she kept God first, she was showing that she is the church. Amen. That's her desire, is to be the church, be around people. And that was her desire. That's God's desire. God was lonely. He needed man to fulfill himself, to empty himself into his creation, and then have his creation fellowship with him. That's the purpose we were created. These things, Jesus said, I've spoken to you that you should not be offended or not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues, churches. Guys, bring this into today. This is a word for today. They will put you out of the synagogues, churches. Yeah, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think they're all doing God's service. Shutting that person up. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when this time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now, Jesus said, I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me where you're going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage, Jesus said, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper that we sang about, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, that's one of his names, the helper, the comforter. If I do not go away, the helper cannot come to you. But if I depart, you know, we're all going to depart one day. A plane takes off from Charlotte Douglas every day. It makes a what? Departure. Has departed. Where is it going? To its destination. If you bought a round trip ticket, you're coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's paid for my ticket. I'm going to depart whether by the rapture or by the grave, but we coming back. Amen. We're coming back to this earth that God made, and he's going to recreate it, make it better. And we're going to live here with peace, with joy, no sickness, no pain for 1,000 years with him. With Christ alone, that's where I stand. He's coming back. That is God's plan. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Sing it, brother. Come on now. That's the Holy Ghost. That ain't me. That's God's plan. He's coming back for a glorious church, Leslie. Glorious church. Leslie knows something about joy. She'll get on Facebook Live and she'll show you the joy, take pictures. Why? She's got it on the inside. You born again, you've got that joy, but you got to draw it out, the Bible says. You got to draw it out. Ruthie, I'm still waiting on my picture of Jesus. Draw it out. I didn't talk to Maurice. You've seen how she can draw. Sherry, my wife ain't in here. Have you seen her picture, Ruthie? Say yes to Jesus. You better get on the stick. Hey, and I'm sorry. Did I tell you that, Maria? I actually told it to my cousin at the funeral. I'm sorry. I have another cousin who she draws too. So I got three coming. Three pictures coming. I want to see Jesus. I want somebody to draw Jesus for me the way he's displayed in the book of Revelation. Why? I want to put it on my wall. I might put it in this church. If I get three of them, I got three places I can put it. Amen. I believe in Jesus, and he's good. Hallelujah. Jesus said, but if I depart, I'm going to send him to you, to your house, Carrie. See, God goes with you. Amen. He don't leave because we got the Holy Ghost. I need to get through here, don't I? No, I don't. And when he has come, the Holy Ghost, he's going to convict the world of sin. I'm going to go back and tell you a little bit as we'll get back into this, because I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago, but I really didn't have the words in front of me to tell you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his ministry. He's a person. The Holy Ghost ain't an it. He's a person. He's the third person of God in you. If you're born again, he's in you. And there's room for him, Jesus, and God in you. You just need to make room. Amen. Make room for God. Amen. I like a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom. Make room. Big house. Thank you, Jesus. Terry, I'm speaking to you. I know you're remodeling your house. You might need to make it bigger. Amen. Make one for the prophet of God to show. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? The word. Keep God first. Build your house. Make it bigger if you have to. Give him a make a room for yourself in that house. Anybody ever seen the movie called The War Room? Oh, they made a room for God, a prayer room. That's a place. I mean, it don't have to be a room, but if you want to make it one, that's fine. In verse 8, and when Jesus said, and when the Holy Ghost has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, say Father. And you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. That was the devil. That is the devil. He's still a created being, but he's not my judge. Amen. He's not my judge. He's not my God either. Jesus is. Jesus said in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you. But you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Anybody ever go on vacation? You get a guide because you haven't been there. You don't know the lay of the land. And you pay for extra for a guide, right? Well, when you get Jesus, you don't have to pay extra. He paid the extra price for the guide. He sent you the guide. He sent you the Holy Ghost. But if you don't follow the guide, you know, I've seen some of these countries and places where they got the trucks drive on the side of mountains. And I'm talking about it's only maybe as wide as this stage. And it goes around a mountain. What are you going to do if somebody else comes? I don't know. I ain't going to be riding on that mountain. I'm sorry. I ain't just going there. But if you don't follow the guide, you could be dead at the bottom of that latrine. Well, this is what Jesus sent the Holy Ghost for, to be a guide. He's not going to make you do anything, but he will guide you if you'll follow. He will lead you if you'll follow. Amen? Follow his word. Follow the word. Follow the light. Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to come to you, the Spirit of truth. He's going to guide you into all truth, not deception. I think that's the next thing we're going to be talking about as a church, is talking about deception. Because that's the devil's number one tactic, is he's a deceiver. He's a heel grabber. Amen? He's a thief. But the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for the Holy Spirit won't speak on his own authority, even though he's God. But whatever he hears Jesus say or said, he will speak. I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me this morning. He said, all things that the Father has are mine. He's speaking to me, but I'm going to take what Jesus said to me and I'm going to deliver it to you today, because God's no respecter of persons. What he's given to me, he's given to you. He's given you life, and that more abundantly. He's called our children blessed and not cursed. And he will, verse 14, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit's going to glorify Jesus. For he will take of what is mine and he will declare it. I'm declaring some things to you today. You're blessed. You're loved. Your destiny is blessed if you're in Christ. Amen? That's every day. My destiny, I'm blessed. I'm an overcomer. Well, I'm not overcoming too much, preacher. Keep saying I'm an overcomer, because that's what Jesus says about you. I didn't ask you what your boss said about you or what your brother. I'm talking about your natural, your biological brother said. My brother said a lot of things about me that wasn't true when we were fighting one another, but I love him. I still love my brother. We just didn't get along too good. We do now, but, you know, Jesus says he'll stick closer to you than a brother. But if you'll fall in love with Jesus, you'll be able to love your brother. Won't be a problem. Even if your brother don't treat you like a brother. I was the little brother. I was the baby of the family. And I got kicked around, pushed around. Anybody been there? Anybody been the baby of the family? Well, to God, you're not a baby. He loves you all the same. Amen. He doesn't have special ones. He loves us all the same. Amen? Hallelujah. Because 15 says, all things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Therefore, I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and he will declare it to you. I'm here today to declare you some things. Amen? You're free. You're blessed. You're healed. You're whole.
Yes.
You're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. That's what the Word says. Get above your situation. Get above the situation and look down and say, that ain't right. Decree a thing. Declare a thing. The angels of God are there to deliver a thing to you.
Amen?
Amen? We got the whole heaven of army. Whole army of heaven. I said that reversed, didn't I? Amen. And we know the captain of the host, too.
Yes.
So we're going to break this down a little bit. Chapter 16, verses 1. Let me flip back over here. Thank you, Father. These things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble, be offended. Jim, we need to order some more of your books. You get me a number and we'll order some more because I know you get me a good price. He's a good steward. Amen. He even gives the pastor a good price on the books that we give away. Ain't that awesome? That's called partnership. We got more out there. If you need a book, get you one. But they're going down. I want to make sure we have more than enough. See, a lot of times you look at something at the grocery store, you wait till it goes empty before you order some. That ain't God's perspective. God is overflow. Amen. More than enough. More than enough. Because he's expecting more. He's expecting more people to come to the church. So we have more than enough seating. Amen? We have more than enough seating. Praise the Lord. So the time to build is not when it's full. It's when you see it full. In other words, the time to build is when you might be half full. That's the time to build. Because if you got to see it full on the inside. Then that's how you know when to build. When you see it full on the inside, you're behind. If you don't get ahead, you're going to be behind, right? Because, see, God calls those things that be not as though they were. If I'm seeing the church full and we get half full, I better think about expansion. Hey, this is the way God thinks. Amen? Heaven's a big place. Hell is expanding, the Bible says. Hell is enlarging itself. Heaven's bigger than hell. But it's wrong that hell should be enlarging and heaven not. Amen? That is not God's plan. Why is hell enlarging? Because people are choosing that place for their destiny instead of Jesus. That ain't God's will. That's man's scheme to say that God killed your baby, that God took your job from you. And if you hear that kind of religion, that kind of lies, deception, I wouldn't want to serve a God that did that. Then your only other destination is hell, because without Christ, there is no heaven for you. And that's not God's will. His will for you is to live forever. That was his plan from the beginning. The devil is the murderer. He's the thief from the beginning. And we got to stand and we got to put him and keep him in his place. Where's that? Foot. Your foot. Anybody watch Toy Story? Woody was written on his shoe. Now, Woody was Woody, but you know what's on a Christian shoe? Should be the devil. That's under your feet. Under your feet. Under the feet. So verse 1, Jesus was speaking about these things to his disciples. This was the night before he was going to be crucified. The night before. He's going to be mangled, marred. You wouldn't even know he recognized him as a human being on a cross. And he was preparing them for the worst time of their lives. Read. Jesus wasn't even focused on himself. He was focused on, what are they going to do without me? All the pain and stuff he was going to suffer. And he says, what are they going to do? He was focused on them. You want to know what love is? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. What does he desire? To love the lovely, unlovely. Amen? And he said, he was preparing them for the worst time of their lives. Yet if they had taken heed to his instructions, exactly what he said, if you go back and read, remember John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God. He started talking about where he's going and where they're going to be. If they really could have got a hold of that, they wouldn't have had, their heart wouldn't have been in fear or trouble. They would have stood there with him. I'm not condemning them because they didn't have the Holy Ghost within them then. But Jesus still had to say the word that he said could happen. It would happen if anybody would believe it. Amen? So he was preparing them for the worst time of their lives. Yet if they had taken heed to his instructions, they wouldn't have been offended when they came out there and took him. They all ran. But Jesus said they would. Amen. Even during the crucifixion and the 3 days before Jesus was resurrected, they would have stayed with him. If Jesus' words could sustain a person through that, then there's no excuse for us not being able to bear under our pressures and problems. Why? We have the answer. What determines how long we stay under pressure is how much of the word we have in here. Amen? Yeah, I told you, there's blackberries on the vine out here growing, multiplying behind this church. You know why? I like blackberries. Amen. Hey, I'm speaking life. I mean, now there's briars in there, let me tell you. I don't get off of my lawnmower, but every time I ride around this church now, I'm looking for the ones I can reach out and grab and not get. Now, I've been getting stuck on a few of them. But if you don't get that fruit, there's birds out there. There's ants out there. If you don't get it when it's ripe, it's going to be lost. The harvest is ripe for people to know the love of Christ right now. If we don't show the love of Christ and get them, they're going to be lost. And God don't want them lost. He wants them saved. All men should come to the knowledge of this truth that God is love. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we have no, now we can focus on our problems, and that ain't going to bring love to people. Now God loves us, and he knows we got problems, but he is the answer. If we will love him, and Wayne, are you getting ready to leave? Come to the front then. I can't let a father get away. He's got to go. He's got some father duties to do. So I know you're the one, Wayne, that's not going to be left out. First shall be last, last shall be first. So this is from Maria, and it is a word study. It says brother. On the word brother, right? It's a word study. All done just for you on Father's Day. So all right, make sure we're going to do in a couple months, we'll make sure and check everybody's answers. Now, Wayne is a teacher, too. Just kidding, you got grace on that, brother.
That's the minimum.
Thank you, Wayne. You're blessed. Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe he can get some of the kids help him fill in the answers. Fill in the blanks. Amen. Hallelujah. So verse 2 here in John. Jesus said they'll put you out of the churches. Have we seen that? Some churches, like Nancy's homecoming. They had it all planned out, and then some COVID things came in, and they had to, now we can't do this. Jesus seen all this coming. He knew it was coming. He was preparing us. He's been preparing us. It's coming. So what are we going to do now? We're going to tuck and run like the disciples? No, we got the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be going to the wilderness to tell the devil what Jesus has done. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the devil. If it don't feel right in your spirit, you stand against it. If you don't feel like you need to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I'm telling you, what it's your body. And I've weighed the cost. And I've read the statistics, and it says it hurts. It's more damage to wear it than not wear it. So I don't need it. I'm breathing good. I'm not going to hurt people. I'll keep my distance. But they won't come close to me. Come on. Amen. Jesus said, I am life. I got life for somebody. Amen. This is me. I'm speaking my heart. The Bible says you got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Each one of you have got to do what you feel in your heart's right. The Holy Ghost is not condemning you. God's not condemning you. The devil's condemning you. He's the one that's trying to divide us and conquer. Sorry, devil. Jesus is my king. He's my Lord. You lose. I'm talking to the devil. You lost. You know who the big loser is? Satan is. He's a big loser. Amen. He had a nice place, a position, but he didn't like it. He wanted something better. That was his fault. Amen? That's his story. He's sticking to it. This is my story. 66 books of them. I'm sticking to this. Amen? This is life. This is truth. Amen? This will get you to your destiny and reach your destination. Amen? And you'll have a smile on your face all the way there. You can make a choice there. So verse 2, put you out of synagogues, out of the churches. Yes, the time is coming and is here now. I will say that whoever kills you will think they did God a service. Jesus spoke of end times here. He made it very clear that his disciples would be hated. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? You know how you're going to know and I'm going to know? The world's going to hate you. They're going to speak all evil against you.
Already does.
But the Bible says, count it joy when they do that to you. Why? Because you have this testimony. Same testimony John had that we're talking about was put on the Isle of Patmos for political reasons too. He didn't go with the status quo. He wasn't saying what they wanted him to say. He said what Jesus said. He said the same thing John the Baptist said. It's wrong. It's sin. It's not right. I'm talking about sin. Evil is wrong and it's sinful. And you got to speak the truth in love. Hopefully that person will come out of that sin and come to Jesus. If they're not, the major sin we want to focus on, guys, do you know Jesus? Would you see Jesus when you leave this earth? That's the sin of rejecting. That's what the Holy Ghost comes to convict us. Have you believed on Jesus? Because once you believe on Jesus, he's took care of all your sins, past, present, and future, if you get in Christ. But it's up to you to walk out of them and stay out of them. Amen? He gives you freedom to live above them, but he leaves that freedom choice to you. Now, you can be born again and be saved, receive him as Lord and Savior, and still not renew your mind to what the teacher says to do, right? I'm a prime example. I passed school. I got my diploma. Some things I didn't learn. Some of us are going to get to heaven. We went to school. We went to church. We believed on Jesus. But some of us, rewards are going to be a little bit different. Some of us are going to have a book like Wayne had. Bigger book. Jesus gives rewards, right? He says, when he comes, I'm coming with my rewards. I want bunches. I want bunches of rewards. Now, thank God we're going to get to heaven. Amen? But I want a lot of rewards too. What kind of rewards? That's between you and God. Some of them's in the Bible, but there's things that God hasn't showed to us yet in this word. He hadn't showed us everything. Jesus said, they talked about it, if everything that he had done, if the books had been written, their libraries couldn't hold all the books that Jesus did 3.5 years, and probably the 30 years too. He listened to Mama, obeyed Mary, obeyed Joseph, got his socks up out of the floor, washed his clothes, said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Amen? He did what Mom and Daddy said do. He was a blessing. And even if your kids ain't being a blessing, call them blessings. Amen? Get your words out there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Not too hot, not too cold, not sleeping on me out there? We're talking about our Father. Our Father. God. Amen. He's an awesome Father. He is awesome. Jesus said, talked about these end times. If you're going to be hated, if you're my disciples, you're going to be hated of all men. You're going to be hated of all men that are not disciples of Jesus. That's what he's saying when he says all men that are not of us. Love. Therefore, he said, this prophecy is for all Christians. Now, this is Andrew. I took some of Andrew Womack's commentary. This prophecy is for all us Christians, Christ-like, in all lands, nations. And those who live godly in Christ, this is 2 Timothy 3:12, all those who live godly, this is the key here, live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Now, you can be born again and not live godly. You can step back and not take the persecution. But I want to hear Jesus say, well done. Not think a minute and try to think about what he's going to say when I stand before him. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. His joy. Amen. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The only Christians who aren't being persecuted are ungodly Christians. They're not doing what the Master says. That's ungodly. Using Christ's name in vain, in the name of religion, in the name of God. That's wrong. That's evil. That's twisting the word to make it say what you want it to say. See, there's the word and there's the spirit. There's the Word of God, and then there's the Spirit, your motive behind the Word. That's what the Holy Ghost is for, to confirm what I'm preaching. What I say today, you got to put it on the foundation of this Word. It's what preacher said, if you can find it in the Word, but then also there's the Spirit of it. What's that preacher doing when he leaves church? Is he loving his wife, loving his family? Is he doing what he says? Amen? Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. There's a lot of shepherds, they ain't good. They out for moolah, vacations, feed off the flock, get fat, the Bible says, off the flock. Now, vacations are good. Being money is good, but is he keeping, are they, when I say he, it could be a he, it could be a she, is that minister keeping God first and keeping you first? Amen? Because he's got to be worthy of the hire. He's got to be worthy. Man, get those calls 3 o'clock in the morning, get up, talk, minister, go see if you got to. Go to Yadkin, North Carolina if you need to be there, to be a voice for that person that you believed and put your faith in. Amen? To exhort them. And that's for all Christians, not just for the pastor. Love your brother. Love your neighbor. Amen? You bear the cross of Christ. When we sign up, you ask Jesus, man, you are signed up. You in the army. It's time for boot camp. Amen? Main thing is know that you put the boot on the devil, man. Keep him out of the camp. Keep sin out the camp. Well, I'm not going. Probably not going to get through all this today. Amen? We're going to go slow because we're talking about our Father. Amen? Yes. We could talk about Him for eternity and find something new every day of our Father God. Hallelujah. Verse 8, Jesus said, and when the Holy Ghost has come, y'all believe the Holy Ghost has come. Now, He came on the day of Pentecost. He came in the believers. He didn't come in everybody. Now, He's still here. He's still, those that haven't received Him, He's still right beside of them. Brooding over them, hovering over them, waiting for them to say, Jesus, I need you. Boom, He's in there, man. He comes in there and He seals you. Anybody ever had grandma and grandpa seal some good old canned beans or beets or corn? They can those things down in the basement, put that, get them good old mason jars, put that seraphim wax. Did I say that right? Seraphim wax. I was in the grocery store for a while. You used to have to keep these jars and lids and paraffin wax. Paraffin. What did I say? Seraphim? Paraffin wax. Para comes alongside that stuff and preserves it. What does the Holy Ghost do? You get born again. He comes on the inside of you and seals you until the day of redemption. Redeeming from what? My body and my mind. I got to work on my mind and my body as much as I can until Jesus comes. But when He shouts, when the trumpet sounds, He's going to change my body. He says, that's the best you can do. That you've done good. Let me help you. He's going to change it. The mortal has got to put on immortality. It's got to be changed. I got a revelation, guys. Flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, for years, and you listen to this, I thought about, unless you get born again, you can't get to heaven. True. But even when I got born again, this flesh and body can't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's got to be changed, my friend. It's got to put on immortality. Flesh and blood, right here, I can't get into heaven. It's got to be changed to the body that Jesus has, a glorified body. Amen. It's going to be made new. That's my hope. It's going to be changed. Amen. Y'all, but come on, you need to get happy now. Your body is going to be changed. Ain't going to have no birthmarks, no aches and joint pains and all this other stuff. Going to be changed. Hallelujah. It's called the Great Exchange. My body for His. We are the body of Christ. Jesus ain't hurting in heaven, let me tell you. He didn't hurt. Now, when I say He, down here on the earth, He got tired. He got weak. He got hungry. He got thirsty in His body. But that body's been changed now. After it was raised, it was glorified. That's the body I'm after. Amen. That's the body I'm after. I'm hiding behind that camera. I see Cindy back there. She kind of turns. Say, one, y'all believe we're going to get a better camera. It's going to sit back there where Kelsey is. It's going to be a nice HD. That's called a high-definition camera. We want to do things with excellence. Amen? Now, we're not going to zoom in too much on us and see the pores on our face. Amen? But we've gone live, and I guess we're going to stay live. because Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
We've gone to live services online because we want to reach. I like to say what Andrew's going, he's going deep and wide. He's going as deep as he can to get people, whether it's online services, live services, being alive, going somewhere, amen, to let people know that Jesus is alive. Come on, dads. Fathers, help me preach this, talking about our Father. When the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, this is not a negative. Talking about, this is what the Holy Spirit, this is what he did to me, the Holy Spirit. Now, I had religion. Religion will tell you what you got to do. The Holy Spirit will tell you what Jesus did for you. You need to hear that again slowly. Religion will tell you what you got to do. Jesus, the Holy Ghost, will tell you what Jesus done for you. He did it all. He paid the price. Amen? He paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus gave his life. He gave his blood, sinless life. And this is the positive ministry of the Holy Ghost, is there to tell you Jesus loves you. This is to a lost person. He would say, Jesus loves you. Why won't you let him come in and make his abode with you? Why won't you let Jesus come in, the Bible talks about, and sup with you? Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Let me in, he says. And the Holy Ghost says, why won't you let him in? Jesus is knocking. He's knocking. But it won't be long. He's running out of time. Jesus is running out of time. When is that time? Don't know. Only the Father knows. Amen. That's God's business. I don't want to be the judge to know when this person will make it and this person won't. A lot of times we think we want to judge and be in that seat. You don't want to be in that seat to know that maybe 10, maybe a billion people are going to go to hell, to know who's going to make it and who's not. That's only to God. Amen. And that's the love of a father for me to take the pain that my children wouldn't have to experience. That's what he did with Jesus. He said, no, I'll send my son. I'll kill my son. In other words, he let the devil come in there, and Jesus actually became sin. And God turned his back on his son. Why? Because he knew the benefit was, I'll take the pain. I'll let my son be sacrificed. So, because he knew we couldn't. We couldn't give that sacrifice. But then he gained us. He gained me and Tammy and Reed. And everybody, if you put faith in Jesus, man, that's what the cross represents. Freedom from sin. Freedom from hell. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit, this is not a negative ministry, as many people at one time I thought that the Holy Ghost was convicting me of my sin. No, he's convicting me of, why don't you love Jesus? Why don't you, God, there's so much good I've got for you. He doesn't have a ministry of condemnation. That's the devil, of what you haven't done. All these things that you've done that were wrong, God knows all that. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repent. You know how much, when I know how much God loves me. The Holy Spirit doesn't convict people of things that are wrong, that they do wrong. But of the, this is what he does, but he convicts us of the fact that we haven't believed on Jesus. Why haven't you believed on Jesus? And he'll give you all, he'll show you all these examples. He'll bring back all the places you've been where people were witnessing to you. Why didn't you listen to that gentleman or that lady that was telling you their testimony? The Holy Spirit, he's wooing you and he's calling you. Why don't you believe on Jesus? See, the choice is up to us. We make the choice to believe or not to believe on Jesus. Those of us who don't tithe or give, we're not being convicted about our lack of giving by the Holy Spirit. God's not convicting us. But what he will do is ask you when you get paid and you don't give first to God, the Holy Spirit will say, why ain't you trusting God? Why ain't you trusting Jesus? Do you know what God can do for you? He'll turn around. He'll show you the benefit of serving God. Somebody, he'll bring back to your remembrance a testimony you heard in church, or you heard somebody giving a testimony in Walmart about talking about God, and they probably pretty loud, because you can't be a quiet testimony for God. You don't need to be a whisper. Amen? Jesus was not quiet. So don't get used to a quiet heaven. And you know, these worshipers up here, now there is some times when it's a very low worship, but we praise. I like to praise God. Praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hand. When I look for a suit. Now, when I get a little bit thinner, I get a smaller suit. But I see a lot of ministers; they'll be tight. You know, I'm like, man, what if he lift up his hand? He's gonna blow that suit out. I like to have one that's loose. Cause man, I've been set free. I've been loosed. Loose Lazarus and set him free. Get him out of those grave clothes. I like to have my button because I like, you know, Lord, give God a shout in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is alive. That means the church should be alive. Living. Amen. Living. Praise the Lord. Be a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. That's why we come to church. Show people we're a living sacrifice. So those who don't give, God's not condemning you about your lack of giving, but He'll convict you about why ain't you trusting God with 10% of that. Go past the 10%. That's what the law says. You know what Jesus said? Trust God with it all. Amen. If you truly trust Him with it all, you could give Him your whole paycheck. If God says to you and you trust Him, you know what? He'll be back in your hand before you can even think about running out of gas in your car. I remember when I first got saved, working downtown Mooresville, we mowed yards 3 days a week. I was living paycheck to paycheck. Let me say, I was not living paycheck to paycheck because it didn't matter when the paycheck come, I wasn't living. I was behind. So when I pumped gas, I always checked what I had in my wallet. I didn't just pump gas and then just put my card in, whatever it takes to fill it up. That's called living at the top of the barrel. When you just fill it up and you don't even look in your wallet. That's living on the top, amen? That's being the head, not the tail. But I was beneath the tail. I was like looking in my wallet before I pumped my gas because I knew what I had. And that's all I had. And I think I had $5, Leslie. And I got to pumping my gas. And I got testifying to somebody over here right beside me by the gas pump. I can't remember what, but I was talking about God and about Jesus and started. And all of a sudden, I got the Holy Ghost said, gas pump. I'm like, oh, Jesus. $5 on the mark. That's all I had. God knew that. I was giving a testimony about the love of God and how God probably blesses me. That's probably what I was talking about. And he stopped me just enough. The Holy Ghost said, gas pump. Now, if I went over, I knew the people there. I could go. I knew people. I knew I could get me some money. I knew some people I could get some money from. But that ain't the point. The point is God helped me in my need. That was the Holy Ghost said. He was on the inside. Amen? Just little stories I like to add. Another $5 story. You like stories? I know you got your own stories, but I get to tell mine today because I'm preaching. Amen. I got the pulpit. Next Sunday is going to be Pastor Reed. So he's going to have some, right? Fourth Sunday, right? Because I got to go preach. I didn't communicate too good. And I was supposed to let him know in advance. But Pastor, I didn't know but 2 days ago. Forgive me. Help me, Pastor. But I'm going to be gone to a celebration of life next Sunday for Miss Nancy. I'm going to be representing you in Yadkinville about the life of Miss Nancy. Where was I going with that? I ain't going to be here. Reed's going to be here, and he's got stories to tell. Help. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Tammy. But my another $5 story. I thought I like it since we, now Angel, I think the clock has slowed down since we put it into the TV. It don't seem like it goes as fast. I think God's slowing us, He's slowing time down for us. It's about the Father today. It's Father's Day every day in heaven. The Father of glory. But before I got born again, I like to shoot pool. Now, I might have told this story, but if you've been here 6 or 7 years, when you've been here for years, sometimes you tell the same story. But every time it gets better, I hope. Amen. Gets better for me anyway, because it's my story. But I used to shoot pool with my buddy, and we were good friends. We worked 8 years in a grocery store, and then we worked 3 or 4 years in carpentry work together, building houses. But when our downtime, when it was raining, if you was a carpenter and you didn't have a roof over your house, you just didn't have no work to do. We had many days like that. Wasn't serving Jesus back then. Didn't have the wisdom of God, right? So we were struggling. So when it rained, Sherry was working. Praise God, woman's working. Come on, me and you, we're going to go shoot some pool. See, that was wrong thinking. Mama working, daddy go play. Mama take care of the bills. See, that was thinking about me and not about others. See, that's the devil's way. So we're going to go to his house. He's got a pool table. We're going to shoot pool all day. Maybe drink some beer, you know. Chill out because we can't work. Mama's working. We got the things. You know, we'll be all right. This is the way I was. But we shot pool. Now, I didn't have a gambling spirit so much that I took money, but we would, whoever won, $5. Whoever lost had to pay $5. You understand? It was $5 a game. I was pretty good at pool. So that night I won $5. And we bought us, you know, that was back when the movie, you remember Tom Cruise and Paul Newman had that movie? It was The Pool Sharks. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was Paul Newman and Tom Cruise. Color of Money. Money had a hold on me, I tell you. So I went and bought me probably $100, $120 pool stick. Had the case. Didn't have the money. Put it on the credit card probably. Because I wanted it. I'm a pool shark. That wasn't right. I took food out of my family's, me and Sherry's bank account. We was in debt. But see, it didn't matter because that's the flesh. I wanted it, and I wanted it now, and I had to play pool when it rained. And I watched that movie, and if I just get me the right stick, if I just put me some money into a stick, I'll be better. I'll be better. The world won't make you better. But that night, I was better. I was better than, I won't call his name from the pulpit. That's good. He's a friend of mine. So I won and I got his $5. So I took that home and I put my $5 in my case. I left it in there. That way, the next time if I lost, I got $5. Because if I put it in my wallet, I spend it. Anything goes in my pocket, I got holes in it. I'll spend it. Amen? So this was, and then after I got born again, now we separated ways because we went different ways and the carpenter work, it just wasn't making it. Sherry got pregnant. We had Kelsey. Kelsey was on the way. Daddy didn't have insurance. Wasn't doing too good. My wife started evaluating the money. And we started talking about my position and what I was doing. And really, should I carry on with this business that we really wasn't doing too well? So I decided, she decided, because back then, you need to go get a job that has benefits, which was really wisdom speaking, amen? Because we get ready to have a baby, and it costs a lot of money back then, about 10 grand, I think, by the time you pay the doctor in the hospital. So I got a job. There was a job offer, and I took it. Got full benefits. Kelsey was born. Bills were paid. So no more pool days. Didn't get to go shoot pool on rainy days. Had to work now. Got me a job. I got a place. You know what we do? We paint. We paint buildings. If it's raining, you paint. So now I'm making more money, Carrie. I'm not getting to shoot pool. Still, me and my buddy, we still got friends. You know, we're still friends. So one day, I'm short of money. Now, this is after I got born again. Now, we're learning how to live by faith. Say faith. We're learning to live by faith. We trust in God. If I get $10, first thing I do, I got to give a dollar somewhere to somebody. Somebody help me preach this message. Somebody got to give me a Snicker bar. If it takes giving somebody a Snicker bar, you better obey God, because it's better to obey God than obey man. But watch out, what you sow is coming back. Chocolate. Amen. You better like chocolate if you sow chocolate. Amen. It'll come back to you. Now, you could talk to the Lord, maybe get that changed up a little bit. Help me. I got to stick to my story. Got born again, living by faith, trusting God in my finances. Going to Wednesday night Bible study, listen to Jim teach for at least 45 minutes to an hour. Whew, that's a long time to hear somebody teach about the Word of God. I'm enjoying every minute of it. My spirit is doing jumping jacks. My flesh is wanting to go get something to eat. My flesh is already, because your flesh don't like to sit in church and listen to the Word of God. But you know what you got to tell your flesh? Shut up. Because life, I was getting life. I was getting life principles. The Word was coming in, and it was getting in my heart. And one day, for some reason, I needed $5, and I didn't have it. I needed it bad. I needed it. And you know what? the Holy Ghost said. And this has been probably 3 or 4 years later, since, you know, went got a job and didn't get to play pool much anymore. The Holy Ghost said, look in your closet, move all those clothes, and look in your pool stick. Guess what? I found me $5. No, I didn't find it. God knew where it was. He knew where I left it. But the Holy Ghost said, it matters what God says. It might just be, well, that's just $5. Back then, that was $500 to me at the time. Amen. The Holy Ghost knows where it's at. He knows your destiny and your destination is in Christ. You are predestined. Once you get born again, you are predestined to live a blessed life. That is God's destiny for you. But you determine every step of the way. You determine whether you want to be blessed. You determine that. The 30, the 60, the 100-fold, you've heard Brother Wayne. He said, I want it all. He wants the 30, 60, and the 100. Nothing wrong with that. God is a God of abundance. We serve a gracious Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You thinking of some stories you could tell? You should be. If you don't have any stories, you need to make one. You need to make Jesus be your storyteller. He was the greatest storyteller in the Bible. Gave examples. He said at one time, except the corn of wheat die, it lives of long, it abides of long. Talking about corn. But unless that corn of wheat die, it abides of long. But if it gets into the ground, if it can get into the ground, and if it can die there, it'll bring forth much fruit. He was talking about his word. He was talking about, Jesus was talking about his death. Except he die and get into the ground, get into the center of the earth where hell is, and get the keys of death, hell, and the grave, we abide alone. But it was in Christ alone, it was in that sacrifice that he went to the center of the earth. He had to die. He had to become the seed that would die so that I could live forever. And he counted it worthy. God counted it worthy, Jesus' life worthy to be that sacrifice. That's the love of the Father. Amen. For he first loved us. And if God loves you, no man can separate you from that. No man, no scheme of man can separate you from the love of Christ. Only you can determine if you'll let them. Amen. I choose life today. I choose it every day. Every day. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just see. Let me finish this thought because talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because verse 8 says, when he comes, the Holy Ghost comes, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe on Jesus. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you believe on Jesus? He's not looking at all your personal sins that you're doing. The Holy Spirit's not there to convict you of did you pay your tithes? Did you go to church? Did you treat your neighbor right? And all those things are sin, but he wants to know, do you know Jesus? Would you see Jesus if you left this place today? If you breathed your breath, your last breath, would you see Jesus? That's what the Holy Spirit, that's urgency. Do you know him? Do you know him? In verse 10, of righteousness, the Holy Spirit's there is to convict us of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. See, most people, and I was one of those people, you can read this in a way that it really means the Holy Spirit is there to reprove us of how unworthy and how unrighteous you are. That's religion. That's what religion does. But that's not what it says. If you get anything, get this today. The Holy Spirit, who is God, he convicts us that we are righteous through the new birth. Once you get born again, you have been made righteous. Not in your body, not in your soul, but in your spirit, man. That spirit. See, I'm looking at Evan right now, but I'm not looking at Evan. I'm looking at his body. But through his eyes go to the window of his soul. Your spirit, you can't see a spirit. But you can see the effects of God in you. You can see love. You're looking for love, the effects of love. is when somebody needs something, you're there to help them. That's God in you. So he's there, the Holy Spirit is there to convict us that, are we righteous through this new birth? How righteous we are now. How many times do we see people stand in church and say how the Holy Spirit has shown them how unrighteous they are? With the length of your hair, what clothes you're wearing, what shoes you're wearing. Oh, gosh, no makeup or no makeup. That doesn't make you, that's not God. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's somebody's pride comparing themselves to you. That ain't God. And so many people have darkened the church, have walked out of the church because of that. It might have been good to get out of that church, but don't leave the church. Amen. Find you a good church that loves you because God is love. Amen. It don't matter if you've got a brand new suit. You might see me coming here with holy jeans one day. I'm talking about holes in the jeans. I heard one pastor, he went in as a home, dressed up as a homeless guy, went to his own church, and they stayed away from him. It was the pastor. He was making a point. Are you going to love the unlovely? Are you going to minister to that person? And then they found out it was him. And they're like, whoa. That's pretty stern to do that. Pretty bold to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, if God says do it, you better do it. Amen. Whatever the Lord says do, do. So how many times we say that wasn't God condemning? That's not God. But we should be sharing how the Lord has convicted them, that they are righteous because of Christ. If you've received Jesus, you're righteous. You've been made right with God, right with the Father, the God of the universe. So it's the Holy Spirit. His ministry is to convict us that we are righteous through Jesus. Say, through Jesus. But not many people receive that ministry because they're trying to fall back on what they can do. Because religious tradition, heard this before, and the doctrines of men, what we're just singing about, the schemes of men make the Word of God of no effect. And this positive ministry of the Holy Spirit is what we've got to rely on. Amen. What has God said? What has He done? Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for this message today, Father. Thank You, Lord. You are a heavenly Father, gracious heavenly Father. We thank You, Lord, for life and strength. And we thank You, Lord, that You are the greatest Father. That You came, You sent Your Son Jesus, You came, and you let Him, He became the sacrifice for all mankind. That is our way. Jesus, You are the way back to the Father. And I thank You, Lord, for bringing this church together in unity and keeping us in unity through the Spirit, through Your Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for showing us the love of the Father every day, revealing Your love and Your purposes for each one of us. And Father, we just thank You, Lord. I speak blessings and life to everyone here and who they represent, their family, their children, Lord. We bind the power of the devil right now that would try to hinder the blessing of the Lord going forth through our generations in this church, these people, Lord. These people here that's called by Your name came to this church, came to this place, set apart their lives today to trust You, Father. We speak life. I speak life to them in the name of Jesus. And Satan, we bind you and call your effects off of any people in this church from generations. We call it void and null right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank You right now that You reveal Yourself by dreams and visions to Your people, to our children or children's children, Lord, that might be astray or might just be beaten down, Lord, that, Lord, You reveal Yourself miraculous to them. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank You, Lord. Holy Spirit, guide us. Lead us into all truth, into the truth that we've heard and the truth that we put in our heart, Father. We thank You, Lord, for manifesting Your glory in these last days, in these end times, Father. We thank You, Holy Spirit, and we thank You, Lord, for Your angels that are here to protect us from the evil and from the evil day that we are in, Lord. And as it seems like darkness and evil is growing more dominant, Lord, that's when you're going to turn up Your power in Your church, because You have not left us here alone. You have given us Your Spirit. You have given us the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just give You the preeminence right now. We just yield to You and thank You for Your mighty working power. Thank You, Jesus, for Your mighty working power. And we just speak life and blessings today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for being an awesome, father to me, Lord. When my dad was not there, my physical dad, Lord, that you put men and you put men across my path, godly men, Lord, that sharpened me with their words and with their love and with their kindness, made me the man that I am today. And my prayer is for all men, all fathers, that would see Jesus, that represented you, Father, here on this earth, and they would decide in their life, Lord, to follow you. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being that voice in the wilderness crying out, righteous. We are righteous. We have been made holy by your precious blood, Jesus, and we thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I speak against negative words spoken against our fathers in here today. Words that you're not worthy. Words that you'll never make it. That you're never gonna be the person that you're supposed to be, because you didn't do what I told you to do. I speak against those words, that you can be all that God has called you to be, because it's not about you, it's about Christ in you. And Father, I just speak life. I release that bondage right now. Those lies and deceptions that the devil would plant in our minds, these strongholds that would try to keep us bound and shackled in fear. Fear of not enough. Fear I'm not going to make it. Fear. I speak against that. I cast that fear out, that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak life and liberty to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let his mind be in you. And to get the mind of Christ, you've got to get in his book. You've got to be about the Father's business. And Lord, I just pray that over this body, Lord, that we would be about the Father's business. That we would not be busy in life, but would be about the Father's business. What you would have us to do, Lord. Where you would have us to go, and how you would have us to represent you here on this earth, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.